Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow. Now is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast with host Eddie Trunk.
Hey, folks, what's going on? It's Eddie Trunk, and welcome to another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, new every Thursday via any of your podcast outlets, folks. Yep, anywhere you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, you name it, go there, get the Eddie Trunk Podcast, as you just did if you're listening to this. And be sure to subscribe. New episodes coming your way every Thursday, bringing you newsmaking interviews with some of your favorite artists. Great to have you tuned in. As I tell you every week, every interview you hear on this podcast originated on my Sirius XM radio show, which is called Trunk Nation, and is heard Monday through Friday, live 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time on Volume Channel 106. Nightly re-airs 10 to midnight Eastern. Anything you want, anytime you want, on the Sirius XM app. And here's some good news right now. For those of you that are in the U.S. or Canada, and you do not currently subscribe to Sirius XM Radio, guess what? You do now. Because it's on free to all in the U.S. or Canada until December 6th. So if you have a radio, a Sirius XM radio in your car that is not currently active, check it out. Because it is now for free until December 6th. Don't have a Sirius XM radio? Download the Sirius XM app. Listen away. More on this at SiriusXM.com/entertainmentLF, as in listen free. Go to that website, SiriusXM.com/entertainmentLF, and you'll learn more about getting SiriusXM radio for free until December 6th, free listening period. And again, if you have the radio in your car, it's on, it's active. Turn it on, check it out. Now you can get an idea of what I do on a daily basis on Sirius XM Radio, which you only get a tiny taste of if you're only listening to the podcast. So a chance for you to sample, check it out, and hopefully come on board and join me every day for Rock Talk and get the full picture. Hope everybody in the U.S. has a wonderful Thanksgiving. The day this podcast is posting is indeed Thanksgiving Day in the U.S. So happy Thanksgiving to my fellow Americans celebrating today and, of course, this long weekend. If you're in the Green Bay, Wisconsin area, I'll see you Saturday at the Epic Events Center with Jesse James Dupree of Jackal. I'll be hosting a charity event there this Saturday night. Never been to Green Bay. Greatly looking forward to that. So let's get to our interview this week, and it's going to be a bit of a double dip, and I'm excited to bring this to you. These interviews, which again happened on the radio, but they originated from a resort in Cancun called Dreams and Secrets. And I was there for an event called The Sands, which is a music event at all-inclusive resort. And I have a chance to host that or co-host that every year. And I did my radio show from the resort each day. And I had some great guests dropping by during that time. And I want to bring you a couple of those interviews now. First up, I'm going to bring you a conversation with the members of Tesla, Frank Hannon, and then later Jeff Keith drops by, and also sitting in with me talking about the old days of MTV is one of the original MTV VJs, Mark Goodman, who is also one of my co-workers on my SiriusXM channel on Volume, who does a show following mine called Debatable. But Mark is also a host at this event, 80s in the Sand in Cancun, and he was around. I thought it'd be fun to get him on. And then the Tesla guys popped in, as you're about to hear. Now, what's really funny about the interview you're about to hear is that Frank Hannon from Tesla, I think it goes Frank and then Jeff comes in a little later, he didn't realize that it was Mark Goodman sitting next to him from MTV until about halfway through this interview. Now, you don't really pick up on that listening to the interview, but Frank told me after the fact. So it's really pretty funny. So here is this. We take you now about a month ago to the Dreams and Secret Resort in Cancun, the event 80s in the Sand. I'm broadcasting live from it. Frank Hannon, Mark Goodman, Jeff Keith comes in a little bit later on. And then second, I'm going to bring you from the same event a separate interview from another day with Robin Zander and Rick Nielsen of Cheap Trick. That's coming up second. First, this kind of mishmash of all kinds of stuff. I think you're going to find this fun to listen to. A couple of the guys from Tesla, Mark Goodman, myself, the Sands music event in Cancun. Here it is on the Eddie Trunk podcast. Hour two, live from Cancun. Here on Trunk Nation, it's Eddie Trunk, and man, I had to travel all the way to Mexico to land this guy as a guest, even though he works right down the hall. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him, you love him from, of course, Debatable right here on Volume, and of course, you know him from the days when MTV was MTV, our good friend Mark Goodman. I know you're on vacation, so thank you for a few minutes.
You know, I like to say that I'm working. This is me working.
Yeah, exactly. But I saw you this morning walking around, and I was just like, you're like, you're doing your show from here? Like, you didn't take off? And I'm like, I might as well do it. So I wrangled you to come by for a few.
I'm happy to be here. This has got to be, you know, for you, you do these things all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you have a blast down here. This is, you know, I can't get it together to do what you do. I can't, do shows from one of these gigs because it's too hot and exhausting. And,
I know. You're smart. I'm an idiot because I was down here at 11 with the IT guy and I'm like, you know, checking the, but I don't know. It's just how I'm wired. And
Wait, so your deal is, You're here for specifically for tomorrow night, right?
Or
for
tomorrow's tonight. My night, yeah. So to speak, in terms of the bands, because it's Tesla and Cheap Trick. They're going to have me do those. You're doing basically everything else. I saw you up there with Little River Band yesterday.
Up there with Little River Band, yeah. That was really, that's the welcome. That was the first event of the first night. So it was, you know, really cool night.
And what you said was true. They've got more songs that you forget that they have. Like, everyone goes Lonesome Loser, but there's a couple other in there.
Well, being on 80s and all, we play, you know, reminiscing, like, a lot. So that's a big one for, you know, what are you going to say? They've had some songs. There's nobody original in the band anymore.
Oh, is that right?
I didn't know that. For years. But they, you know, they sound really great.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Billy Idol tonight. I'm looking forward to Cheap Trick. I haven't seen Tesla since back in the day.
I see him like every week.
I know you do.
They're amazing.
It's no big deal.
Billy Idol's going to be huge tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
That room in there, because I was telling people earlier, this event that we're at, in case you just tuned in, it's called 80s in the Sand, although he just calls it The Sands now
because they're trying to broaden it. I mean, you know, Julie Brown has her thing coming up on Thursday night. It's Club MTV night.
Yeah.
It's 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so it's cool that it's getting a little wider. And what I like about it, I was saying to the audience before, is that, you know, I'm a rock guy to my core. We know that. But I have an appreciation for other stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I like the fact that everything's mixed in.
Yeah.
So here you're going to get Tesla, Cheap Trick Living Color, but you're also going to get Howard Jones or whatever. Yeah. So it's a good mix.
I'm just going to, later on this afternoon by the pool is Dramarama.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, you know, what people remember Dramarama or
Jersey
not.
Boys.
Man, come on. I love those guys. And I haven't seen them since I worked at K-Rock in L.A.
Yeah.
Back in the day. You know, that's, they're great.
Last
that's
cigarette, cool, anything,
yeah,
all that.
Anything. Come on. That's an anthem. Stuff is great.
Of course.
So, And tomorrow night, I'm really looking forward. I'm bummed because, you know, a late booking, you heard, was Living Color.
Yes.
And they're,
you're gone?
I got to go. We have a little thing. If you stay tuned after Eddie wraps up here, it's debatable. And we're all going to Cleveland on Thursday.
Right. So the you know me, I have a love-hate thing with the Hall of Fame.
Is it love-hate, really?
I guess.
Partially tolerating hate?
Yeah, it's a little,
yeah.
But the thing is that the ceremony's actually Sunday.
Saturday night.
So tell everybody what you're doing, because you guys are going to do shows that from there tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, or what?
Not Thursday. Okay. Everybody's traveling on Thursday.
Okay.
So Thursday, what we're going to air on Thursday will be the announcement of who was being inducted that day, a rebroadcast of that show where we talked to a lot of the inductees.
Right.
We talked to, you know, Greg Harris from the Rock Hall about, you know, the ballot and so on. So that is going to air on Thursday. And then Friday, yeah, we're live normal time, 4 to 7 East, from the Rock Hall. They have a radio station there that we'll be doing the show from, taking calls and stuff. It won't be New Music Friday. It will be Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Friday.
So do you have some of the inductees and things, are they there by then? Are they lined up to
come
on?
The only one I know of, I know that there are bands who are supposed to be arriving certainly before the weekend. And one band I know for sure is the Go-Go's are showing up there because Gina has a book out and they're doing an event, including Belinda, who is coming, I think on Thursday. But you know, we'll be talking to them for sure, and whoever else we can dredge up on Friday. You know how it is.
When do you think and how do you think McCartney comes and goes from that thing?
Well, he's inducting the Foo Fighters.
I know, but how does that go down? Like, you know, does he just, like, get walked in and go to the stage, walk out? Do you think McCartney doesn't hang?
No, he's coming to the after party. Yeah, he's
he's not. The question is he coming on Debatable with Mark and Alan on Friday? That would be the score.
Well, that is the question, isn't it? Let's talk to Eric Luffglass, our intrepid talent wrangler, and let's keep our fingers crossed.
I can feel smoke coming out of his ears right now with that one, Mark.
He knows. When Rock Hall happens, I mean, that's when he shines, and that is his worst nightmare at the same time. Because it's live radio. Who do you got next? Who's on? Come on. Who's presenting? What's
right.
going on? You know. So I don't envy the guy his job.
Hey, so tell me about being out here at a thing like this. So this is, you know, this is the sweet spot of your, in terms of fans of yours who saw you on MTV. Mm. And obviously that's the connection. Alan's here, Julie's here, and all of that. What's that like for you to walk through here and meet all these people that you made such a big impact on?
It's still really, really fun. And what I love is, you know, Julie is thought of as the 90s, but we worked together. She came when I was still at MTV.
Yeah.
So we worked together. This is long before Club MTV and stuff like that. It's still great. And like every other, you know, live band on the road and a person who loves to go to live music, we're all just like, hey, great to see you again. Wow, that was crazy what just happened, right? The last 18 months. So it's really like that. And people are awesome. As it turns out, there's a lot of people here who were on our 80s cruise, which was March of 2020. We literally got back, and there's people who are, you know, that was the death cruise. That was, you know, was people thought we were insane and we were getting reports from land while we're out at sea and things are shutting down and they're not going to let you off the boat. That's what this year's experience is like with people. But it's always really cool, and it's nice to be with people my own age.
Yeah. Although when I walk around here, I'm like, I'm not as old as these people,
yeah.
But I am.
Yeah,
you know, I am.
Yeah, that's the harsh reality, dude.
Like you, I'm sure mentally we feel about 25, right?
That's about where I stopped.
Exactly.
That's so true. But for you too, I mean, you do these events, man.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You got to be people bumping into you all the time too, right?
Well, yeah. For me, it's like, you know, the rock dudes. You know, they'll come up to me, they'll see me, and they'll be, you know, all amped up to see me. And that's cool. And a lot of that metal show love still. You know,
right.
That show was,
for
people
sure.
loved that thing. And even though it hasn't been on the air in a while, it's amazing how that still resonates and keeps going. Look at this guy. Mark Goodman just told me he hasn't seen Tesla in a long time, and now you're sitting next to Frank Hannon, Tesla's guitarist.
Come on,
put their headsets on. You just told me you weren't feeling good. Now you got a drink in your hands. Look at you.
I'm a soldier. I'm a rock soldier.
Feeling a little better now.
Yeah. I crawled out of bed, and I couldn't leave you hanging, man. You know, I tried to wrangle J.K. over here.
Wait, hold on. Let me adjust you in the microphone sense.
Am I too hot?
You're good. Is Frank sound okay?
Testing 1-2. Check 1-2. Hey.
He could be a little louder, but he's mostly good.
All right, you're okay, mostly good.
I'm mostly good.
You all right? What are you drinking there?
No, this is just a straight up iced tea, bro.
Oh.
I don't mean to let you down. I know it looks like a Long Island, right? It does look like a Long Island. I could have lied and said, you know, like how David Lee Roth used to put the iced tea in his Jack Daniels bottle.
Right. So yeah. Mark was just
that's
saying.
The rumor.
So Mark Goodman was just saying that. When's the last time you saw Tesla?
I probably haven't seen you guys. It's 96.
Almost 30 years or something.
It's been a year or two.
Couldn't find a better place to see you now, huh? Cancun, Mexico,
it?
Right? Is this not the greatest?
I'm loving it.
Mark, remember when you were at MTV when Tesla, did you first introduced the Tesla video? Was it Modern Day Cowboy?
That's a good question. What year was that?
That was 86. Yeah.
So that's possible.
That was still when Headbangers Ball was on.
Right.
And then we started spending more time at MTV during, like, they had Hangin' with MTV was a
right,
show we did.
Right. That stuff happened. I left in 87, but came back for the 87, 88. I came back for 1 week a month and did shows.
Okay.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I quit, but they were like, come on, just do another year. Come on.
We were hanging out more with
you. Did you get some good money out of them for that?
I got a raise. And I got 3 weeks cut off my record time. It was a good deal.
Oh, that's a pretty good deal, yeah.
What was the other guy? Adam?
Adam Curry is the other guy with hair.
That's the guy that had the hair.
Me.
I'm sitting here going like this. I'm giving the hair gesture, everybody.
That's
you can't
what people
see
do.
It.
Dude, that's what people do for me. I had the giant Jufro.
Yeah, the black curly
years.
Hair. Yes.
And then Adam had to give the sort of, you know, the Aryan kind of blonde, you know.
He was the white boy, huh?
He was, oh, man, he was stunning. It was stunning.
You guys are all good looking on that show. You know, that was good.
Well Mark's
why,
still
that's
good
why,
looking.
That's
look
why
at
they
them.
Got cast, you know, because we were so goddamn good looking.
But I remember the reason why I bring up MTV with Tesla in particular, with Frank here now, is the fact that, and I've told this story so many times, it was super impactful to me seeing Tesla for the first time on MTV. It was the countdown show. It was the Dial MTV thing. And I remember because at that time, Resonance was 86, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first album is 86. Modern Day Cowboy, the first ever single and video. And you know as well as anyone, everyone knows that at that time it was the big hair and the makeup and that was the look, right, of all the rock acts. These guys came out, some kids out of Sacramento wearing jeans and T-shirts.
That was why I dug this band. I never quite understood the hair product routine. It's fine. The music was cool. I got it.
Yeah. It was a fun era, though, the 80s. I mean, come on, right?
But you
it was
guys
fun.
Never, correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys never, Frank, got pulled into that. You
no.
always just kept,
no.
you just showed up. I mean, did you get, did managers and handlers try to doll you up?
The record company tried to. And if you see some of our videos, like Little Susie or some of them, I think we might have poofed it up a little tiny bit. But we were under the pressure, you know, we got, our videos were directed by the same guy who did the Poison videos, and so they did put a little pressure on us, but we fought against it. We were kind of always the underdogs of the 80s, I think, a little bit. And then Guns N' Roses came out and really blew up, you know, and we were label mates with them, so...
Right.
So anyway,
you were bucking the trend, man. At that time, you know,
there was only
a few bands who were trying to do what you were doing.
Well, the one thing that we did was the 5-man acoustic jam, which was right at the beginning of the MTV Unplugged era. So we get credited for that little shtick there.
Did you actually ever do MTV Unplugged?
We did, yeah.
You did, after you did the acoustic record with Science.
Yeah, right around the same time. And the Black Crowes were on it with us. And let me tell you, we smoked that place out.
You mean with weed?
Yeah. I don't think MTV Studios had more weed burning than when we were there with the Black Crowes on... Is that okay
where
to
was
talk
that?
About?
Was that on Broadway?
It was in New York, yeah. Yeah, and the Black Crowes were there. That's when we were buddies with them.
Yeah, yeah. Mark, you everybody talks about all the debauchery of the 80s and everything like that. What was the yeah. I mean, when you hear about the record companies, even like the shit that went on at the labels and the offices, this and that, the MTV studios and offices back then in the old days, was it wild or was it pretty business?
No. Well, the offices I can't speak to because the VJs were never in the office.
Okay.
We were at the studio nonstop. We rolled in there. We started shooting at 8, and especially in the first 6 months, we wrapped at like 11 p.m. And we were nonstop shooting.
Wow.
We were shooting 24, yeah. And in some cases 48 hours of MTV.
How far in advance from when it aired?
Generally, hopefully 24, sometimes 36 hours. But we early on realized that we had to. We couldn't do 24 full hours 5 days a week, in 5 days a week when we were on the air for 7. So we had to sort of juggle things and cut hours down overnight so people were doing less breaks per hour, shorter to record. But the five originals always joked about the fact that the real party was happening at the office because those guys were dealing with the record labels.
Yeah.
Those guys were like what lives and what dies. And those guys were, you know, Les Garland.
They were getting a little bit more for Santa Claus, a little bit more. They were getting all the payola and all the party supplies up in the office.
I got to say, I think that it was not as much payola as just that was the decade. That
right?
was when that shit was just going on.
Yeah, it was.
You know, I think that we did for, especially in the early 80s, I think we did a great job adding music. I don't think we added anything that we shouldn't.
Oh, definitely.
You know.
Well, it's insane. Well, I mean, Tesla's one of my favorite bands. I always say that how much I love this band and how much they meant to me. And that was how I discovered it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I was in the business already a few years at that point. So I would have known about them anyway. But
right.
I will never forget the countdown of these videos and a lot of stuff I liked that was coming out of that time, whether it was Poison, Kicks or whatever. I'm good with all that. But everything kind of started looking and sounding the same. And here comes these guys. That,
right.
Frank, when you did Modern Day Cowboy, you were like 19 years old, right?
Yeah, that's pretty young.
They were like,
yeah.
You know, Greta Van Fleet young.
Right.
And then here they come and out of Sacramento.
So
and
let's
like,
compare them to Greta Van Fleet,
no,
shall we?
No, that's not. Do you get the whole Greta Van Fleet thing?
Not for a minute.
I don't either.
I don't.
Not shit-talking them. I don't get it.
They've kind of
changed.
And
I like them and
bit.
I'm rooting for them.
The next
but
record,
I don't...
they changed a little bit.
They did change their image and their style
They're
a little
trying.
Bit.
They're trying.
I like
They're
any
trying.
Band that rocks these days. It's, you know, I mean, at least they rock, right?
But, my point about it.
Led Zeppelin, the influence is okay, but.
Right. But my point about it is I'm with you 100%. Any band that truly plays live, I'm all for. Guitar-based, rock band, I'm rooting for all of them. I'm not saying I'm rooting for them, but I was just last week, I was at the Greek Theater in L.A., and I went to see Jason Bonham do the Zeppelin show.
Right.
And because he was on the show, and then I had no idea they were actually playing that night, and I ended up going. And I'm there, and, you know, I'm going into the Greek, and there's the board of the upcoming shows. Greta Van Fleet's doing, like, 2 or 3 sold-out nights at the Greek.
Right.
And I'm like, now, the guy rooting for the rock bands in me loves seeing that.
Right.
But
yeah.
Just to my own ear, I don't get how this... I don't hear it because
really, but it reminds me of like early Rush. I mean, like it sounds like Geddy Lee on steroids, kind of. And it's the younger generation. I mean, you got to remember these kids are appealing to kids their same age, which is really freaking cool, man. I think because I deal with kids. You know me, I'm always producing kids.
Yeah, yeah. Frank produced a bunch of young bands. Yeah,
and I've got this band Red Voodoo that's 18, 19 years old, and they love Granite Van Fleet. It's inspiring them. Now they sound a little bit more like Van Halen than Led Zeppelin, which of course we love that. But I think it's cool when the younger generation, I mean, because you got to remember, we're four generations ahead of these kids, dude.
But you got, there's a difference between, and Greta Van Fleet, they say, did it by accident, that they sounded like Led Zeppelin.
Well, they're not admitting, that's true.
You know, but there's, I don't mind where, you know, where your influence is on your sleeve.
But don't deny it.
But don't deny it.
Hey, that's, I've ripped off Peter Frampton a bunch, and
who hasn't? Come on,
and I admit it.
But again, I the thing with like I am all in on new bands. Like, there's a ton of new young bands that I love. I just, of that pool of these new bands, which there's so many, yeah. I think it's a great time for rock right now. I don't know how much of it can break through like Greta did, but there's so many bands that I hear that are as good or better, even more accessible than what they're doing, that are still like off under the underground some. And to see what happened with them, I got to be honest, and I'm not saying any sort of shenanigans went on, but it was almost like out of the gate, they were almost like anointed as the ones. Like, you heard that before their record even came out. There was this thing in the industry. Like,
yeah.
It felt like the old days to me, that pre-album hype. Too much.
Yeah.
Too much.
Right, yeah. That the programmers were almost like, you have to be on this out of the gate. Yeah. It was no objectivity. They're going to be the ones. Yeah. And look, if you're the band that position like that, it's the greatest spot in the world. But how does that happen, and why, when there's 1,000 great new bands, it's kind of interesting to me.
Well, they had a real live Led Zeppelin energy on their thing.
Initially. Now they're more proggy, and the kid's voice is way high
and
up.
And he's given like philosophy lessons on, have you seen that? No. That kind of tripped me out. I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to say too much, but I always get myself in trouble on his show because I say too many bad things.
No, you don't. You just talk honestly. That's what you need to do.
Well, let's talk about that pre-release hype, okay?
Yeah.
Now, Guns N' Roses are freaking great, and we love Slash, and we love Guns N' Roses. They changed the face of rock. But before they came out, we were label mates with them, and all we heard about was, oh, man, Guns N' Roses is going to be the biggest thing. And I asked Tom Zutat personally, who's Guns N' Roses? What is it? And he said,
same guy who signed Guns signed you guys.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he said, dude, in 6 months, they're going to be the biggest band ever on the planet. And then in 3 years, they're going to self-destruct and break up.
Zutat predicted that?
He predicted the whole freaking thing. He had it all predicted. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. He was dead right.
He was dead right. And so then we went out to the Whiskey Go-Go that night and saw Guns N' Roses before Appetite came out. I think Mr. Brownstone was like on KNAC or something, a demo tape. And, man, I'm getting goosebumps right now just remembering how great it was, the energy of that. So, you know, maybe on some levels, somebody was feeling Greta Van Fleet's energy of this youthful band that has that live feel.
Maybe
know?
Somebody just wrote a really big check. We're just
I can't
kidding.
Think.
I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
Kidding.
I'm kidding. But you know, that was the. It's funny when you talk about no shenanigans going on or whatever, because we all know that all went on in the 80s. I've been in radio and doing this for 38 years. I never had anybody offer me a box of Tic Tacs.
Man, so it's like. I was a music director in the 70s at a rock station.
What were you getting coming your way?
You know, I went out to dinner and I got passes to the show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I heard some passes for the Rolling Stones Steel Wheel tour.
Yeah.
Got us Love Song on MTV. I had heard that rumor.
Brian says that in his book.
Really?
By the way, your bass
is that true?
Well, that's what I heard.
This is great. Brian Wheat, Tesla's bass player,
right?
Another founding member of the band, wrote a book, which you clearly didn't read.
I did not read it, no. But I told you I lived it.
You lived it.
There you
go. So Brian's book came out less than a year ago, and Tesla was managed by Q Prime, the biggest management companies back then. And in the book, Brian writes that Q Prime had done a deal to represent the Stones and were working
Steel
Wheels tour.
Right.
And the trade-off was that your new band Tesla, Q Prime's new band Tesla, you had to add... Was
love
a love song?
I think it was
the
love
ballad,
song, yeah.
And you would get access to the Stones and tickets. So it's in Brian's book. I'm not saying anything
I didn't know
not
that.
In print.
I didn't know that, but I had heard that story. Yeah.
It happens.
Hey, man, it's rock and roll.
It happens. So, hey, before you go, I don't want to hold you here because you're not working and you're nice enough to come by.
Are you
for
just
a
here
bit.
On vacation, Mark?
Well, sort
he's
of.
Working the event. He's one of the
this
hosts
is,
of the
this
event.
This is what my vacations are like.
Awesome, dude.
It's good to be Mark Goodman.
Heck yeah, Mark. It's great to see you, man.
But
yeah.
He's got to go out there and walk around and everybody go, hey, dude, remember in 83 on MTV? And, you know, take on that. In this.
Dude, I still got that song stuck in my head.
Oh, man. Every hour for 6 hour shifts.
Yeah.
Every hour. For I was there for 8 years.
Yeah.
Imagine how it's burned into my brain, man.
Who wrote that song, by the way?
It was friends of Dale Pond and this other guy in marketing who wrote. It's just, you know, a library thing.
They get a flat rate on that.
Riff.
I wonder.
Yeah.
They just did a buyout on it.
Yes,
because that metal show theme that everybody knew that actually was Bumblefoot who was in Guns N' Roses at one point, he had done an instrumental. That's an instrumental on one of his records, and we licensed it and used it for that.
Oh.
And it's forever become known as the That Metal Show theme. He, even when he plays it live, labels it that now.
Okay.
But that song's even more iconic,
and
obviously.
Notoriously, there was no money. A big corporation, two corporations, but no money. I mean, the reason that we were airing that launch, you know, the rocket launch and the walk on the... free. It's NASA footage. It's public domain.
Oh, yeah, the satellite and all that. Yeah. I remember, you know, we were on Guam 1983 when MTV first came out. And so we were City Kid at the time. We were playing six sets a night, six nights a week cover tunes on Guam. And anyway, that was one of the things that would be on all night was MTV on satellite TV on Guam. And we loved it. I mean, all those early videos, I mean, you know, that's the first time you could see Joe Elliott and Pyromania and those songs, you know, and Minute Work was another
Billy
popular
Squires,
one.
Billy Squires, Triumph, all that early stuff. My friend...
Jump by Van Halen was a big one.
Yeah, my friend, we didn't have it yet in my town, but the next town over we did, so I would just drive over there and we'd sit on the sofa, and I was like, wow, just wait to see what was going to come up at that time. One last thing for you, and I'll let you get out of here because I know you got stuff to do, but did you... when was the first time? So it's interesting to me, they're not nearly the parallel, but in the same way, I started work, and you worked at VH1 Classic for a short time too when I was there.
Like when I came back to New York in 2000 something or other.
Right, because I was there starting in 02.
Yeah, that's right around, I was back in like 2006.
Because I remember
like
we shot together in that Greenwich Village studio
a couple times.
We did a few things.
That's right.
That was before I was doing that metal show for like four years. I was just doing the host stuff. But my point about that is VH1 Classic, when I started with them, was a brand new channel.
Yeah.
Digital channel, secondary tier, no commercials initially at all. This was like 02, right? So I was doing it, and in the beginning, I felt like it was kind of like, you know, you're broadcasting into the abyss. Is anybody really even seeing this?
Right.
And then after about a year, you're in the supermarket, and somebody, you know, hey, man, I saw you interview John Mellencamp. Like, whoa, you know, somebody actually saw it, right? For you, with the earliest days of MTV, do you was it immediate out of the box that all of a sudden people knew Mark Goodman, or did it take a while?
I forget. We were living in Manhattan, shooting in Manhattan. But MTV wasn't on in Manhattan for the first year. So we would we would walk around in Manhattan and nobody knew who we were.
You were on Guam, though.
We were happening in Guam.
You were happening in Guam.
And pretty early on, we were happening in London, too. I mean, I went into a pub just like in 82 or 83, something like that. MTV Europe was not happening yet.
Yeah.
And I'm watching me on TV in the pub. So people were, like, taping us and stuff like that.
But do you remember the big moment? Like, was there a defining moment for you, like, in your neighborhood or something, and the local guy at the deli's like, hey, wait a minute.
I could tell there's two things that happened just in terms of the, like, when did I know that, okay, MTV is more than just this cool channel. Like, there's something else happening. In the early days, we had to go out to the little towns and kind of schmooze the cable operators to get them to pick up MTV.
Right.
And they sent me to this appearance in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And I was being driven from my hotel over there that day for to the record store where I was showing up and I was going to sign and whatever else. And they pull around the corner and there's this massive crowd. And I went, wow, who's here? And the driver goes, you.
You.
Oh, wow.
Kind of blown away by that. But what in New York, when we started showing Thriller, I was late to the studio one day and I was rushing, trying to hail a cab, and I jump in the cab and I go 33rd and 10th really fast, I'm kind of late, and the cab driver turns around at me and he looks at me and he goes, hey Mark, don't worry, if you're late they'll just play Thriller one more time.
Yeah,
because we were playing it like every hour.
Yeah.
Okay, we're happening
good.
Now I got
that's
it
that's classic. Good stuff. And one more thing, last thing, I promise you. The US Festival is coming up on 40 years ago in like a year and a half or something like that.
Right.
And that whole coverage and for us as metal fans and rock, hard rock fans, that the metal day.
That was
Judas Priest.
The Van Halen, Priest, Motley day was amazing. You were there. Just give
Ozzy.
give me a few things that jump out.
Well, I would just point people to YouTube and see my David Lee Roth interview.
Yeah.
Which was a drunken mess.
At least he was.
How about Stray Cats, though? They were smoking.
Stray Cats were great. Yeah. Stray Cats were great.
Were Stray Cats a stand-on on the other days? I don't remember.
Yeah, they were
on
the last day of it, and it was freaking awesome. You got to see that footage.
Wait,
dude.
The metal day was the middle day, right?
I think so.
Yeah, second day.
And Stray Cats headlined the last day, I believe.
Yeah.
And, man, Brian Setzer had that crowd going, dude.
Really?
Oh, it was insane.
I don't know if they headlined, because I know on the maybe alt, it was the alt day was U2.
Oh, okay. The maybe it was day. Earlier in the day. But either way, there's videos of it that kicks ass.
But then Ozzy, I mean, Ozzy was on the metal day, and it was still light out, because I brought him on. And we were, for the first time, we were trying to do, like they do on broadcast news, live hits, right? Hey, here we are at the US Festival, live on MTV. And so I was supposed to bring Ozzy out live on MTV. And I stroll out onto the stage, and you do your big thing. You know, what the MCs do. All right, everybody, you ready to rock? Come on. Excuse me. I'm screaming, yelling. All right, Ozzy Osbourne. Nothing. He's like, they're like, wait. Okay, we got to do it again. We missed the hit. Okay, 5-4.
Oh,
I'm like, all right, everybody.
Yeah, you only get that energy one time. It's like the next one was like, please welcome Ozzy.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, everybody, take two.
That's classic.
The Roth interview, was it before or after they played? I don't remember.
Before.
So you knew he was hammered before.
Yeah.
Because when he went out, it's notorious because I forgot the fucking words in the middle of Romeo Delight. He didn't even sing. Yeah.
He was hammered, huh?
He was much better in the interview than he was with the band.
Right.
I know. I felt really, really bad about that. I was a little pissed, and I'm sure Eddie was livid, but... Yeah, that was a shame.
Did you know, I don't know if either of you guys know this, do you know that of that day, there was only one band that to this day that their footage, their audio and video has officially come out, DVD, Blu-ray, album. Do you know what band it was?
Is it Priest?
Nope. There's only one.
Because I know that there is a DVD special of Us 83.
Well,
which covers a lot.
I didn't
of the
even know there was an US Festival the previous year in '82 until I saw a documentary.
JJ Jackson did it that time.
I had no idea there was another one, but it's Triumph.
Oh.
And there's a documentary coming out on Triumph, which I've seen. But Mike Levine from Triumph told me this. They were the only band that went to the guy who did US Festival, Steve
Wozniak.
Wozniak. And in their deal, they were the only ones that thought enough ahead in their deal to say, hey, okay, we'll agree to this to play, take the fee, but also we want to own our rights to our performance.
Right.
Nobody else thought of doing that. So they actually have put it out on DVD, on Blu-ray, on CD. And everyone's like, how come this didn't come out? And the guys in Triumph told me that Wozniak owns it all, or whoever he sold it to, but the only band that had control of the whole weekend was Triumph.
Wow, and it kicks ass, too. I've seen that footage, man.
Yeah,
that's surprising that The Clash didn't do that, that they weren't on top of that, because they were really a pain in the ass that day and really like bugging all of the management, and people were irritated with that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Bono, the classic line from Bono that day, because they held this press conference, and everybody was on time. Everybody was on stage on time. It was Bill Graham was running it. And Bono commented to me about them going, well, Mark, we're not here to hide behind our haircuts. Okay.
Mark Goodman is still hanging with me, and so is Frank Hannon of Tesla. And we may have a late appearance here at the end of the show from Tesla's singer, Jeff Keith, who we're going to try to wrangle. If we do, we're going to bounce one of you guys out because they don't have another mic for
him. You can bounce me out. You
don't want to be on with your singer. Typical band. The singer's coming. The guitar player wants to leave.
The guitar player's running. Nah, they don't. Hey.
I know how that works.
I share the mic with them on stage.
How many years you've had him as your singer?
37.
There
about.
You go. Enough said.
I know everything he's going to say. Okay? I don't really need to be here for that.
So Mark brought up during the break, we were talking about new music and what we're listening to and what we like, being that he's... The new music stuff you do. I mean, there's a ton of new artists I love.
I think there's great stuff out. And people who are doing rock and roll. Who is it?
Aaron Jones.
I love
his record.
Really, really cool. But I mean, even, you know, and maybe it's hack already, but like Jason Isbell, I think is crazy, crazy great rock and roll.
Yeah. I gotta be educated on this stuff. I have to be.
You never heard Aaron?
Yeah, no, I haven't. No.
Aaron is a well, I say kid, but he's actually like 30. He's from Seattle, and he's done a couple independent records, and he's like a straight up blazing. You'd love him, Frank.
Okay, guitar, I'll check
like,
him out.
Guitar, vocal, Hendrix-y sort of vibe. It's killer.
All right.
And it's as real as it gets, and it's really, really good. You got to check him out. He's out on some of the festivals and stuff.
Okay.
He's
is
great.
It like a, is he like a Jared James Nichols?
Yeah,
or
yeah, kind of like that. Yeah, Jared's great also.
Jared's
I love
great.
Jared.
Yeah.
You know, a band that's not new, but they still haven't fully broken through, who I absolutely love, is Rival Sons.
You know, that is a band that is one song away from breaking through. Their songs are great, but they need to be one notch greater. That's all they need.
They have, in my opinion,
yeah, singers.
One of
the
best singers
alive.
You ever see them live?
I saw them two summers ago in Montreux, at Montreux Jazz.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And they're another band, and that's an interesting thing, too. So they're an American band from Orange County,
yeah.
But they have way bigger following outside of America.
Yeah.
Like the British and the UK and Europe has taken to them way more quickly, I think, than they have in America. Even though here in America, I mean, I'm going to see them in Anaheim in a couple of weeks. They're playing at the House of Blues, and it's 10 years since Pressure and Time, which is like one of their landmark records. So they're not new by any stretch, but they're still a band not enough people know about.
They haven't broken through. They're almost. They get some play, but not enough.
And the Struts are like that to me, too. The Struts are... Do you like the Struts?
I do. I think they're a great band. I didn't think that you liked them.
I love the Struts.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. Right.
And then, you know, you got Blackberry Smoke.
Yeah.
And who were we just talking about just a second ago? Marcus King.
Oh, Marcus King. Man,
yeah.
Oh, man.
And, you know, Blackberry Smoke had to go to Europe, too. I mean, they're huge over in Europe.
It's weird that blues-based stuff, that blues-based rock stuff, gets way quicker accepted in Europe than here.
The Brits have always gotten it.
The Brits get it. They refine. They do whatever they do with it, and then they feed it back to us.
Just like Jimi Hendrix. Just like Jimi Hendrix,
yep.
Right? I mean, historically, it's always been that way.
Even the Southern rock stuff, like Skinner
about,
and all
how
that.
How about the Ramones? The Ramones had to go to Britain, too, to get it.
Metallica did, too,
Metallica?
Really,
yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you've got the reverse. What blew my mind once, Joe Elliott told me this. So Def Leppard, we're just talking about the glory days of MTV. I mean, nothing was bigger than that Def Leppard pyromania period
right.
with God. Photograph and all that. Joe told me, I don't know if you guys even realize this, so Pyromania sells 10 million records in America, headlining arenas, living on MTV, Photograph, Foolin', Rock of Ages, all that. Joe would go home to England and walk to the store and get a loaf of bread without anybody giving a shit. They did not break in the UK on Pyromania at all. Like, they did not break until Hysteria in Europe. And in the UK, but in America, they come here and headline arenas. They go to England. Do you know why he told me there's a reason?
What does he say the reason is?
Well,
I'm curious.
There is, and the Struts ran into this too.
Yeah.
If you're a British band and you're perceived as catering to and reaching for the U.S. market too much, like to the thing, like here's, like not showing enough love to. That they hold a bias against you. And Def Leppard's first ever single.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know this.
From High and Dry.
No,
Hello America. Hello America.
Their first ever single
from
their first album On Through the Night is called Hello America. And that's actually how it starts with Frank just saying, Hello America. And the Brits were like, fuck you. You want America? Good luck. And then it wasn't until Hysteria that they broke. And then it went to a whole other thing. And then the Struts, the same thing, because they came to the U.S. and they played here and they were so, and they moved to L.A.
Yeah.
And they wanted to break America and they were so vocal about it to the point that that Luke would go on stage and say, you know, this is our home. And, you know, he really stepped out on it.
Oh.
You know what finally got the Struts over in England? One thing. The Struts did, Dave Grohl did an interview with the BBC or something over there, and he was asked what was the best opening band the Foo Fighters ever had, and he said the Struts. And that's all it took was the anointment of Grohl, and now the Struts are a thing in England.
Wow, that's cool.
I mean, Luke told me that. I mean, these are all the...
Dude, the anointment of Grohl. That's a cool...
The anointment of Grohl.
I want that. Yeah, you know, and you know who's anointing Grohl is Paul McCartney, right?
Right. We just talked about that because Mark said it at all.
This coming weekend at
that's
the Rock Hall.
Freaking cool, man.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
That is the ultimate anointment.
Yeah, this is the ultimate anointment. Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Listen, your singer just showed up.
I'm gonna hand him
the
mic.
I got to do a break.
Okay.
So we'll say goodbye to you. We'll let Jeff get on. Mark will hang. And then I'm here tomorrow. You know, you're like my
Mark,
co-host.
It's so great to see you, man. Like
same
I told
here,
you on the break, man, MTV helped Tesla immensely get known in Omaha, Nebraska, and Des Moines, Iowa, all through the Midwest. What a great groundbreaking thing, man. You're awesome.
I proceed at your own risk indeed because Jeff Keith just showed up, ladies and gentlemen, just giving us a breakdown of 70s and 80s game show hosts.
Yes.
Here. JK.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks. How are you, Eddie?
I'm good. Say hello to Mark Goodman.
Mark.
Always a pleasure, man.
Always, buddy.
Come on, my gosh.
Modern Day Cowboy, those are a brand new pair of tennis shoes they bought for me for that video. They're like, you need some new tennis shoes. I'm like, all right.
All right, yeah, I got these at the video shoot, man. See these?
That was great.
Do you remember, Jeff, seeing your video for the first time on MTV?
I might not have seen it the first time because I'm a small town boy, but
the first time
you saw it,
the first time you saw yourself on MTV with your band singing.
Right. It was great. Of course, I still had too much hairspray because they got me all dolled up and they had all this Aquanet. And I went to look in the mirror and I went, oh, no. And I smashed down. They go, no. It took them another
half hour. But we just talked about Mark and I were just saying, and Frank, that Tesla never really went down that road, though.
Yeah. Well, when we first started, of course, we don't know what to do. They put half a can of Aquanet. I smash it down. They got to use the other half. It's true.
What about after you started airing on MTV?
How
did your life change then? Then was it like, okay, now I'm in a town that I haven't been to in 6 months and everybody's
sick. It was fantastic.
Right?
And when we did like what, Little Susie, was it? Or Getting Better? I have a perm. So that way they wouldn't want to put the airspray in my hair.
He's doing the Mark Goodman thing.
Frank is still here, but I don't have another headset, so that's why
So Modern Day Cowboy, I think Getting Better came out, then Little Susie. I could have those mixed up. But it was great. I mean, to see yourself. The hardest part is to hear yourself because you're like, oh, my gosh. You do a recording, and then you listen to it, and you go, I don't know.
I would think that you got over that pretty quick.
They just said, never mind it. And I went, okay. Yeah, because at first when you hear yourself like on a recording, you're like, huh, that's what I sound like. It's like this.
I sounded better than that. Really?
Right. That's it.
But I expect like for people in radio, you know, for me when I started in radio, I'm from Philadelphia.
That's great.
And Philly has really like the stupidest accent ever. I hate it.
Okay.
And I literally went to classes in college to try and get rid of my accent.
Is that right?
And I could not listen to myself for years on the radio. My first, 5 years on the radio, I didn't listen.
Well, because, yes, it gives you a little bit, I guess the word is complex. It's like,
complex would be the word, yeah.
Okay.
Like really hung up and embarrassed.
Well, we can all kind of connect on that we all heard you heard yourself singing, of course, the first time.
Yeah.
Mark and I being radio guys, whether it was
a tape or the
dreaded air check meeting, nothing worse than sitting there with a program director across the desk and going over just your voice talking.
Right.
Thank God those haven't happened in
years. Let's break down this break that took you 40 seconds when, you know what, you should have done that in 20. That should have been a 20-second break, my friend.
That's the hell Mark and I lived in our careers, Jeff.
Let me tell you guys what I think is on top of the list for Hell Market. Show was great. Everything. Somebody come up next day and go, here's a board tape. Ah, man.
The ISO'd vocals. Oh, no.
It's the dreaded board tape. I go, why'd you have to ruin it? It was so great. Well, this is just a tape, just dry, of the show last night. You're like...
See, no, I don't know if this exactly relates, but everybody talks about Led Zeppelin reunion at Live Aid, right?
Okay.
And how, I mean, they never released it. It wasn't on any of the, because they hated the performance. And everybody sort of universally now says it sucked. We were standing right to the right. We were stage right of that. It sounded amazing.
Wow.
It sounded amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I don't know what that, and I think the people in the audience loved it.
Yeah, I think when you have the benefit of that visual of like, holy shit, there's Paige Plant and John Paul Jones playing Zeppelin songs,
it's to each their own, Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, right? It's like,
Well,
I'm not saying this because you're just sitting here and that I love you to death. You know that. But you guys and Frank and the whole band, as a fan from Tesla from day one to now, there's very few bands I can say this about that you're as good as you've ever been. The band is incredible still.
How about that?
And that's the God's honest truth.
Well, now, and the God's truth is that we tuned down a little to say something.
But at least it's real.
I know.
At least it's real. Just like it says on your T-shirts, you keep it real. No machines, no bullshit, no lip sync, nothing. And Cold Blue Steel, the great news. Joel, cue up. I'll give you last second instructions if you can find it. The new Tesla song is called Cold Blue Steel. Let's go.
That's already what I have lined up, man.
Oh, look at this guy is on the ball. He's already got it ready to go. Jeff, the ultimate pitch man, setting it up. just blurted out his new song out of nowhere. Look at this guy. He is on the ball, Frank, after 30 years. Look at him.
What? Oh, I didn't know it was a ball I'm on, but I'm on something.
Come on.
Come on, Marcus. Come on.
So what are we going to get from you guys tomorrow night here at this event? You're doing a shorter set than normal, right? Because you're opening
minutes
for Cheap Trick tomorrow.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a great double bill, though. What a Wednesday night. Cancun, Cheap Trick, and Tesla. Are you kidding me? I'm
going to
start drinking now.
Oh, my gosh. Well, where is it, Eddie? PBR, baby.
Just staying on the water until later. No, I'm off the clock in about 30 seconds, then we'll start. We'll have a few. You guys are off tonight, right? So it could get crazy tonight.
Billy Idol tonight.
Right.
That is right.
That's right. It's going to be great.
Well, listen, we got to wrap up. Okay. Jeff, thank you for coming by. I appreciate it. Frank, thank you, buddy. Always good to see you. Jeff Keith and Frank Hannon of Tesla. And Mark Goodman, look at this.
Eddie, thank you, man.
Oh, man, thank you. It's
I appreciate it.
Mark took the day off, but he still ended up on volume somehow. So
gotta love it.
Go figure. Well, that was a lot of fun. I hope you guys really enjoyed that. I know I enjoyed bringing it to you and doing it that day, and a lot of people really enjoyed hearing Mark Goodman and the Tesla guys dropping by, and a lot of fun there. All right, coming up next, we stay in Cancun, stay at the same event. Different day, though. Rick Nielsen and Robin Zander of Cheap Trick.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Price drop? Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Eddie Trunk here with you. As I mentioned, so much fun broadcasting from this great event in Cancun about a month ago called The Sands. Looking forward to being a part of it again next year. One of the great bands that played it was Cheap Trick. Good friends Robin Zander and Rick Nielsen dropped by prior to their performance. Here's how that conversation went. All right, we are back from sweaty, hot, and humid Cancun. As we're inside and we're still pouring sweat. It's like here.
Ooh, imagine what it's going to be like up there playing.
It's quite clammy here today, to say the least. It's every day, but it is always a pleasure to be joined by my good friends, the legendary members of Cheap Trick. Robin Zander, good to see you, sir.
It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting us,
of
Eddie.
Course, thank you for coming. And, of course, Rick Nielsen as well. Good to see you, sir.
The House of Sweat. We love it here.
We are all just pouring sweat. And we're inside in air conditioning, by the way. But
it
just after a while, it just gives out.
Same with the rooms, too. You get in bed and you sweat your gonads off.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
As soon as I walked in, I was like, I'm going to call my guy. There's something wrong with the AC. And everybody's like, no, this is pretty much it. It's the best you're going to get.
We did the same thing. We call a guy up. He goes, no, that's just the way it is. Sorry.
So have you ever played this event before?
Not this event. I played another thing with guys in Guns N' Roses and Billy Gibbons. And just myself came down here to Cancun and did something. And it was similar to this area here, only it was down a beach.
Right, right. But that's the thing is, all of these resorts tend to be like that. This area of the world just tends to be like that.
It's almost exactly the same as the place I played at.
That's the thing I was telling you about, is that he learned how to speak.
What is this now? Rick is showing me something on his phone.
How to say, how he learned how to
never had a lot
pronounce.
To lose.
Yeah. Emmer hit, I'll tell you, phonetically something.
Wait, what happened? Tell me now. What are you showing me?
This guy said, let's see where he is. This is, hey, keep talking because this is boring.
Rob and I were just talking about the heat while you look on your phone, Rick.
Well, I'll tell you later.
Eddie, did you write the set list for us tonight?
You know, I was thinking about that last night. If you want to clear the room, I'll gladly do that for you.
Right. Yeah, you did it before. You know, it was cool.
I would love to do that, but you know me. I would put the deep tracks in. And this thing, what are you going to do tonight? You have a regular full set? Did you guys know what? I mean, I know this is a little bit of a different gig being at a resort, but is it a full headline show? Is that what you're doing?
Well, it's only 75 minutes, so that cuts it down a little bit. But we'll do some of the hits, but we do some deep cuts every night. We change our set
every night, you know, not everything.
We'll change things around.
You know what's interesting? When that's a big sticking point with fans, right? Like, for a lot of other bands, the one band you can't say that about Cheap Trick is Cheap Trick, because you guys, of course, have what you figure six songs you have to do every show or so, right? But then you do always rotate stuff in and out all the time. You will play anything from your catalog. You're one of the few bands that do that. Most of the bands, when I talk to them and say, why don't you change your set more, if they're being honest, they say, because we don't want to put the work in to have to rehearse it and learn it.
Oh, jeez. Right.
Well, that's true, though. They have to rehearse it and learn it.
So do we.
We just, our rehearsal's on stage, basically.
During the
soundcheck. Our mistakes are better than anything we could think up.
Well, let me ask you this. Speaking of that, and this may maybe cause some limitations, maybe I'm wrong or right on this, you are playing still without Tom, right? Tom is not with you guys. First of all, Rick, how's he doing?
He's doing well. Tom is doing. You're talking about the band, or Tom?
How's Tom doing?
I think he's doing good.
Yeah,
he's doing
a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Any update on his health? Is he okay?
February,
he'll be back with you guys. So he's still recovering. I mean, I know when you guys did some of the promo rounds, that he put out a statement, because I think on one of the late night shows he had to sit down when he played and people were concerned.
Yeah.
But at that point he was recovering still, right?
Yeah. He didn't want to tear his stitches, for one.
Yeah.
He got all sliced up.
Yeah. Oh, he got open, huh?
Oh, yeah. Opened up and pulled out and fixed and put back in and zipped up.
They put some bass strings in there, too.
Yeah.
12-string?
12-string stitches.
Of course, you bet.
Did he have, prior to him having this really, you know, concerning heart surgery, did he have any complaints on the road with you guys?
He had no clue. Well,
he had complaints on the road.
Yeah, he's always had that. That's from the beginning. But no, he had no clue he had a problem until he went in for, I guess, his regular physical or whatever. And they found it, and they said, well, you got to get in there now. Because
I
got to
play
next
week. No.
Yeah, you don't know if you're going to drop dead tomorrow or next year. So he went in and got it done.
Well, thank God that he's going to do okay and be rejoining you guys. Now, in the interim, we've got your son, right?
Yeah,
Robin, your son, Robin Jr., is playing bass. Now, he had been playing in the band, playing some rhythm guitar and singing, I know, for a bit. Talk about how that happened, because I didn't even know he played bass.
Well, now I got to play guitar. God damn it. No, but, he's really good. He knows the songs better than I do. You know, he's just one of those guys that plays all the instruments just as good as the next instrument. You know, he started playing the drums when Dax had a baby, or his wife had a baby, I guess. And then he filled in for Rick when Rick was sick, So he does everything, you know.
So wait a minute.
He's going to fire all of us.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I figure when Rick and I pass, you know, he can just, him and Dax can just carry on.
That's right.
Well, it is crazy that it's like, that it's actually like a Xander and a Nielsen, all Xander Nielsen band at the moment.
That's it's better than the cover bands that come in with the, you had the ex-roadie from I won't say the name of the band. But
I know what you're talking about. Exactly right. It's pretty crazy. You don't miss a beat and just keep going, right?
Yeah. That's right.
But did he ever play? So your son played a show on drums with Cheap Trick?
Yeah. He played more than one.
He said when Dax went in, wife had was having a baby, and he said he wanted to be there. Gee, imagine that.
Yeah.
And
just RTZ. Have it without me. What the hell?
Yeah, you know, RTZ.
I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Robin Taylor Zander. He came in and played the drums. He said, who knew?
Yeah.
That's nuts, though, Robin. When did you see that he had this ability? How early on that he's like? You're telling me that your son has played drums, guitar, and now bass in Cheap Trick.
That's correct.
And sings, of course, as well.
That's correct.
When did you teach him this stuff? Did it was just in him? Did he just?
He had a band before me, asking him to come with us that had just broken up. So he moved to Nashville, lived there for 3 years. Played in his own band and plus a bunch of studio work and stuff like that. But he grew up with Cheap Trick. He's known, you know, us since he was born. He's been with us on the road. He's, you know, he just absorbed everything from Tom and Rick and me.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Dax, the same thing. Dax
same thing, yeah.
Dax was classically trained on the piano.
Is that right?
Yeah. And so, and he can play every instrument. He's actually played every instrument with us, too.
Yeah.
And so, but I didn't groom him to do that. He did that on his own, like RTZ did.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't sit around, here, you learn this. I had no idea that he knew any of our songs. Yeah,
but we have instruments in the house, you know, and they just pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that for both of your kids, actually. Like, if it was a thing where you just think it was because they were around you and they were around it and around the band and they recognized as they got older what you both did that they gravitated towards it, or was it more of a push to say, hey, here's, you know, pick up this guitar, Dax, or pick up these sticks, Robin?
If there was a push, it was the other way, probably.
You know, when Dax came...
Don't do this. You're crazy.
Dax came in to play drums, he was going the next day to Europe to work with... You know, he's worked with Brandi Carlile and Dick Dale years and stuff.
Right now he's working on his tan by the pool.
Right. I saw him over there, yeah.
But it was like, I asked Tom and I asked Robin. I didn't want to be the guy that said, well, let's have my kid here. And, you know, I let them decide because I didn't want to ever be in that position. Like, well, he's your kid or whatever.
Right.
And then the same way with RTZ. He came on, it's like, I got sick and I needed some help. And he came in and filled in for me, and he's better looking than me too. Damn, it's pissing me off. It's like it was my decision. Yeah, let's have him.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. It's always been like that. You know, it's not that we pushed our kids to do anything, really. In fact,
about
it's
time
more
we did.
Pushing them away. But you know, it's more than just that, though. These guys, both these kids, have music in their hearts. You know, they whether their dad or whatever's influencing them. They just love music.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny, too, because in both of the cases with both of your kids, I remember meeting them extremely early on.
at Oakwood Garden Apartments.
For you, Rick. Yeah. Dax. I mean, that's a legendary story. And Robin, you were there. But we're talking late 80s at the Oakwoods. And I was staying with Vito Broad. I've told this story before. We knocked on the door and you guys were writing. And this little kid gets up in his pajamas. He's like, I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah.
And it was like in footsie pajamas, and that was Dax, who's playing drums now.
Yeah.
And for Robin, for you, I remember I did something in Tampa. I think it was I was on Mike Calta's show or something.
Yeah.
As a guest, and you came in.
Yeah.
And you were setting up in the corner, and you were with a kid. And I was like, what's going on? And I remember Mike, or you said, that's my son.
Yeah.
And then you played on the radio with him, and because you were doing like a duo thing then, right?
That's right. Yeah. We still do that once in a while. You know, we play little clubs in Safety Harbor where I live and stuff.
So, yeah. Yeah. I got another combo, too.
Well, that's what I want to talk about, because each of you have, everybody's got, no matter what band, everybody's got a little something on the side that they're doing for fun and musically. So let's talk about that. So, and we'll start with you, Rick. So you've been out doing, it's called the Family Trust, right?
The Nielsen, TNT, the Nielsen Trust. You know, it's like, I play, duh. Dax plays, duh. My son, another son, Miles plays, and his wife, who's a Ford model and a singer and songwriter, the four of us, and then we got two cousins we bring along too.
Keep it in the family.
Yeah.
And what are you playing?
We play mostly Cheap Trick, but mm-hmm. there's been a lot of stuff. Miles Nielsen, the Rusted Hearts, because he's got.
Miles is real talented.
10 albums or something like that.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So he's really good. It's like their band is real good too. It's like. And so I, actually, it was my wife said, "Oh, you never play with these guys." I said, "Well, I never have, but you should go out." I said, "I've just got done with 9 months on the road. Are you just trying to get rid of me?" "Yeah, okay." So it was fun, and we did two shows. We had everything sold out. We were doing 17 shows when Robin was in Europe with Alice Cooper. We did the first two shows, and then the pandemic, boom, that was it.
Yeah.
And so now we've been picking them up, the ones we didn't do.
Yeah, we with Alice, we had to cut our tour that we were doing over there in half.
So wait, who was Cheap Trick with Alice?
No, it's just me.
You were opening for Alice?
No, we were. He had a full orchestra.
Okay, when was this?
March of
19, 20.
I don't know.
20 was the year we lost pretty much.
Yeah,
that would have been 19 probably.
No,
right?
it was
20 was that's just when stuff should hit the fan. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And it was March 10th or 11th or something like that we had to stop.
Well, tell me what it was first, because I'm not even aware of it. So you were in Alice went to Europe and performed with an orchestra?
Yeah, and he only does like 4 or 5 songs at the end. And before that, I did 3 or 4 songs, and there was another artist that also did along with us. A guy from England that looked like Rod Stewart.
Okay. All right. And you were over there when the COVID stuff was all coming down.
Yeah, well, I didn't know it was coming down until the very last 2 days, and then all of a sudden you guys got to leave Germany. I didn't have a ticket or anything until I had to rush to Frankfurt to get out of town. I took the last flight out.
Oh my gosh.
Before they closed it
down.
The
only reason I was doing this thing on my time off was because Robin was going, you know, to be with Alice Cooper for a month.
Right.
So, oh God, I got a free month. And then my wife, you should do, you know, it's like, so we rehearsed. And then we did 2 shows. I don't know how many you did, a couple shows.
Over with Alice?
Yeah.
We did about 1.5 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. And he likes to work he doesn't take any time off.
He works nonstop.
Yeah, it's like every day.
Whether that or Hollywood Vampires or whatever he's doing, he's always hustling that guy. He's amazing. And he's at his age, he's still great at it though.
Yeah,
and that's the thing I say to people all the time, like as far as the bands that I love, like Cheap Trick and like Alice and all these guys, I got no problem with them doing it forever as long as you're still good at what you're doing.
Yeah,
and
that's
Rick, right. Look, I talked about this, Robin, before you were here today, actually on the air. I have this category on this show with my audience that I call the freaks, and I mean that in the best of ways. Mm. And you're very much in that category, meaning the older guys that have been doing it forever that can still look the same, which is ridiculous, and still sound as good as they've ever sounded. And you know what? Last night, I hadn't seen Billy Idol in ages.
Yeah.
That guy's running around at 65 years old with his shirt off singing. Like, I couldn't. Yeah. I was like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
So you guys, I'm convinced you and Sammy Hagar and Steven Tyler and Billy Idol and Glenn Hughes, you did make a deal with the devil, didn't you? Did you cut your blood and, you know, make a pack with a goat or something?
Well, with Alice.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, with Alice, yeah. But
with Alice. But it is remarkable. I mean, do you do any vocal warm-ups? Do you have any routine?
Oh, yeah, every night.
You do? Did you always do that?
No. It's just probably the last 20 years, 15 years.
Only the last 20 years.
But before that, my warm-up routine was different. It was more like this.
Do some drinks and whatever else so you could get your hands on.
Robin used to smoke, too.
Like, yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah, I quit that, too.
How long ago did you stop that?
God, I smoked for about 35 years.
Wow.
From the time I was 14. So
don't do the math.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I read an interview with Ozzy once, and he said that of all the drugs and all the craziness he did, the toughest thing to beat was cigarettes.
That's true.
I never smoked. Was it that tough?
It was really tough. I tried to quit in 1980 when Rick was starting to run. He used to run for like 10Ks and stuff.
Who were you
like
running
that.
From, Rick?
Everybody. Himself. Yeah, I smoked too.
I remember you smoking.
I smoked 3 packs a day of Philip Morris Commanders. They were like pell-mell, except with no filter. And I loved every cigarette I had.
When did you stop?
I stopped in like 1970, 70, something like
oh,
that.
Oh, really early?
Oh, yeah. But
oh, then I don't remember you smoking because I thought it, I wouldn't have known you.
It's me that smoked. Yeah, you, I smoked.
We look, we look a lot alike.
I smoked, and I tried to quit in 1980, 81 when he was running because he didn't have anybody to run with, so I figured I'd try to tail along, and that lasted about a week. You know, I couldn't do that. But I,
having,
I quit,
having
I,
a youth chase me.
I quit for about a year, and then I started got in a bar one night and started drinking.
So I think it was more than one night.
So Rick, you also you look great, and I talked to you about this.
See, I always look like shit.
No, you do look great. I told you this, and when I saw you play the last couple times, I was like, my God, the way you're moving on stage and you're jumping and doing the kicks and all that stuff, and you dropped weight. You looked really great to me, and I said, what'd you do? And you said to me, I stopped eating candy.
Yeah, I stopped eating sugar. And I said, boy, she pissed.
She stopped, she stopped hanging around.
But you told me that one of your rituals, like your post-show rituals, was to go back to your room and just eat a big bag of candy, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, what kind of candy? What were you eating? Kit Kats? What was it?
She's still pissed. I'm not going to give any advertisement to my vices.
A golden shower.
But that was a but that was a big vice. Was
Yeah, well, you know, it's like I used to drink a lot, too. You know, I could outdrink everybody I knew.
I remember that.
Two-fisted.
Yeah,
drinker.
He was out at the Oakwoods.
I was at the Oakwoods.
In person.
He had beers in his jacket.
You should have seen Bunny and I's room. Bunny saved every can of beer that he drank. So after about a month, all the way to the ceiling on one wall, all these beer cans stacked up on top of it.
What was that about?
I don't know. It just got that way.
On the road or in the studio? Or
at Oakwood Garden Apartments.
So, yeah, I quit. And it's like, well, what were you talking about? You know, the vices I had, it's like I would drink a case and a half of beer every night. It was always in my bathtub at the hotel, filled with ice, and I wouldn't quit drinking until they were all gone. But I didn't drink before we play. And you know what my favorite song was?
What?
Good Night. And then you go head to the bathroom.
Do you remember the deer that had an arrow stuck through his neck at Oakwood? They put the posters up?
No.
Oh, man.
I don't.
Yeah, there was stuff like that going on.
But I do. But it's funny you say that your favorite song was "Good Night" because it meant you could go drink. So I went to see Jason Bonham last week in L.A. at the Greek, doing the Zeppelin thing, and he was telling all these stories between songs. And one of the stories he said, he goes, "If you people here in L.A., he said, if you ever wondered why in Long Beach you only got one encore from Zeppelin, but at the Forum you would get two. The reason my dad always told me is Long Beach was a little further away from the Rainbow, so we wanted to be able to get to the Rainbow quicker, so we cut a song, but at the Forum, it was close enough we'd do both encores.
There you go. Showbiz.
Priorities in order, right?
I believe it.
There you go.
Hey, so the album, been out a little bit. That's the last time I talked to you. In Another World, it come out. We did that thing on Zoom. The whole band was on, and it's done great. Congratulations. It was a number one rock record shortly after we talked. I know that was announced, so I take full credit for that because of my audience.
It was you. It was by the way, Light Up the Fire was played on Monday Night Football the last 2 weeks.
Three weeks.
Yeah, I didn't see the first one.
Yeah, and they play some good rock stuff during the commercial breaks there. I've heard a lot of bands in that
spot.
They
added us, which was, instead of just playing some of their older stuff, wow, a new song on there. And we're talking about trying to get another video with...
Well, you remember Rick did a video with, what's his name, Junior.
Hank Williams Jr.
Oh, right. Yes, yeah. That's right. Are you ready for some football fans?
Yeah. They kicked him off on ABC, but ESPN, they're a little sleazier.
Right.
They should have it.
Yeah, that's right. They're more rock and roll there.
Yeah.
We hope. That would be cool. So, where are you guys at now in terms of touring? I know that it's crazy for everybody out there right now with the backdrop of COVID. Things are getting to be normal a little bit. You can look out here. Everybody's having a great time. The good thing about this is everybody's been tested coming in and coming out.
So
we are kind of in a big bubble here, which is good to see. But how's it been for you guys on the road?
We've been going around quite a bit. And, you know, wherever the protocol's tight, we go. And they're still letting people in and stuff like that. So... you know, we go where we can, pretty much.
Yeah, we've had some excellent shows. You know, we haven't had anything here in ages. Sold out.
Yeah, we've sold out most of the shows.
Yeah, it's been pretty amazing. You know, because people were hungry for music.
Now, Rick, did you have COVID?
No.
Anybody in the band get it?
No.
So you guys have been lucky in that regard.
I've had all three. and I've had I've done about 20 swabs up my nose.
What do you mean you had all three? All three what?
All three.
First
shots.
Shot, second shot.
And oh, you got the booster already.
Yeah, yeah. You know how old I am.
I see another head growing on your shoulder. But whatever.
I got the booster too, but it affected me differently.
Yeah, that's not a booster. That's a shrinker. I'm afraid to go out here in my Speedo out here.
Yeah, I'm not quite eligible yet for the booster, but I hear they're going to go 40 plus on that soon. So I'll get right in line when I need to because I got no problem getting it. But
yeah, tonight I probably won't be doing too much. I tore my rotator cuff.
Did you?
Yeah, about a month and a half ago. So it's like just now I can lift my arm up. It was like. Oh.
Do you have to have surgery or something?
I'm not going to get it because I want to play music.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. My program director of this channel, Roger, he had the surgery, and it was one of the most painful things. He plays drums, and it was one of the most painful things he's gone through. He's still dealing with it.
Yeah.
And then I hear people.
Oh, okay, let's get it then.
But no, Rick, but then I hear other people that actually bounce back pretty quick from it who actually are musicians. So, you know.
Well, they're all liars, you know that. Everyone I know,
they just do it for the drug.
Robin, yeah. I hear you have a wine.
I do.
Tell me about that.
I've been trying to do this for about 10 years now. So I finally, I would get a bottle of wine every night after the show. And sometimes I would drink some of it, sometimes I wouldn't. And eventually I got tired of the cheaper wine, so I'd made sure that they'd bring wine that was over $50 a bottle. Otherwise, forget it, you know. And so I kept this wine, and eventually I'd tasted a bunch of wines and decided to do my own. And I ran into this guy, actually a friend of Michael's kid, Aaron Ace. Michael, I forget his last name. Michael somebody. And he's a wine distributor guy.
Okay.
And he knew this guy named Spoto who did... Spoto, I'm sorry, who did GarageBand Winery.
Mike Mercer.
Yeah, Mike Mercer. So he did this GarageBand Winery called Spoto and took me over there, and we tasted the wine. It was fantastic. And he said, you want to do a wine with me? And I said, well, yeah.
Want to do a line with me.
Yeah, you're a GarageBand. You're a GarageBand wino, and I'm a GarageBand rock and roller. So let's do it, you know. It was sort of just by meeting this guy. He was a great guy, and he knew what he was talking about. And I thought, yeah, well, let's do it. It just came out the other day.
So what's it called?
It's called Surrender.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Right, I like that. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Is it under your name? Is it, say, like Xander Wines or anything?
No.
Or it's just called Surrender.
Surrender, and it's Spoto Wines.
Do you have any of it here? We're going to sample some tonight after the show?
I can get some to you.
Well, I mean, I don't want to intrude on asking you to send me wine, but I thought maybe we'd have a little tonight after the show.
That would be
Cancun,
cool.
Cancun, you know?
That would be cool, but I didn't bring any.
All right. See, the marketing, you got to take a page out of Sammy Hagar marketing. Well, we're going to get to that in a second.
Uh-oh.
You got to take them, because if you guys are selling booze, you know, if Sammy was here, you know, he'd make them. Every one of these things would have his sign up with the booze. Mm-hmm. Sammy's the master at selling that stuff.
Oh, I know.
Stuff,
he's
man.
Crazy.
Good friend.
Yeah, well, me too. But I was just at his thing in Catalina a couple weeks ago, and he's got the posters up everywhere, and he's, you know, pushing the booze. Yeah. And even on the ferry from L.A. to Catalina, they're selling his wine cooler. It's like he's got it dialed in.
I've been at a couple of his birthday parties, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So Rick, what's that on your shirt you're showing me? It's a vodka. What do you got?
It's called Rockin' Vodka.
All right.
He drinks vodka.
It's sugar cane.
Okay. Explain to that. Now, I drink vodka, but what does that mean, sugar cane?
It means it's made out of sugar cane.
Okay.
Not wheat, not oats, not corn, whatever.
All right.
And it's brewed and distilled in Harvard, Illinois, actually, which is nearby us. And I like when people do things... not cookie cutter of, you know, sponging off of somebody else's. Hey, you know, put my name on this. Like Robin did with this wine. You know, he looked around and got the right thing. With this, I went and did the right thing. Get people working. Now there's a whole bunch of people working on it at the place and advertising it. And we just got a thing for the Hard Rock.
Nice.
And all over in Canada. We're now in Canada. I think we're in California. Sammy Hagar actually helped. He helped put me in touch with some people to get it going.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you want to do this? And he said, I've already got enough stuff going on, but here's a few phone numbers. I got a few phone numbers, and it just carried it on since then.
Now, am I going to be able to try some Rockin' Vodka tonight after the show?
Yes.
You have some?
No.
Oh, what kind of marketing guys are you, man? What are you doing?
We brought Cheap Trick. I'll send you some. Give me your address.
You guys are the consummate self-promoters. Exactly. It's so exclusive. No one can get it. At a resort that's filled with Cheap Trick fans.
Just try and get it.
Exactly. We challenge you to find it. Rick, do you still have the restaurant? Do you still have Peace?
Yes, I do.
That's a fantastic spot.
It's been there for over 20 years.
One location still? Or
one location. We're hoping to be where you are in New Jersey.
Oh, is that right?
No.
Oh, we come to Vegas. That's where you go.
I tried there.
Vegas too.
I went there. I was good buddies with Carrie Simon.
I mean, I loved Carrie as well. Oh, yeah. I knew Carrie. Yeah. We miss Carrie.
Yeah.
We
miscarried Carrie.
Yeah. But Peace, for those that don't know, is to just call it a pizza spot kind of sells it short because it's fantastic pizza. It's not your just go in and get a slice. But how long have you had that?
20 years. It was me and Bill Jacobs.
Yeah.
It was an old warehouse kind of place, dirt on the floor. And I said, the fact that he was going to get a place, it asked me to be involved in it, but it wasn't getting all new equipment. He was getting everything
from
people that went out of business a month ago. You know, they spent all their money trying to get a business going. And we didn't do it on the cheap, but we did it right. And it's been there for 20 years, and it's like it was number one out of 37,000 pizza individually owned pizza places in the country, and it won tons of awards with the beer.
And that's you're in a heavy pizza competition area.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
You're out. What's this? It's actually not in Chicago, just outside.
No,
right?
It's in Chicago.
Oh, it's Chicago.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not downtown, but it's
right. Because I went. Yeah. It was years ago, but
Milwaukee and Damon.
Okay.
Yeah. So. And I've had Smashing Pumpkins there. I've had Foo Fighters there. Fighters are gone.
Robin Zander ain't there, yeah.
And he's got the Surrender Wine. So you know.
Now is the Surrender Wine for sale at the Peace Pizza Place?
If he wanted it, he could have it.
So we should. We should go to in business together.
There you go.
Get some for Eddie here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's our main customer.
You got to hook me up here.
But yeah, so it's done real well. It's thin crust pizza in a thick crust town.
Yeah.
And, Anthony Bourdain, he said about this, he says, it's about the thick crust pizza. He says, Chicago people, they don't eat that shit. So he loved Peace, too. So
yeah, good stuff. All right, if you guys can give me...
I've had Def Leppard there, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
If you guys can hang through a quick break, I'd love to chat a little bit more about some music stuff, if that's cool. And okay. any other food or booze that you're pushing, we can do that, too.
You push it on us.
I know, no, but I mean, I know that a lot of artists are doing this stuff now, and I just heard about your wine, Robin. Somebody mentioned it to me, so I wanted to see what was up with that. And I didn't know about it. It's Rockin' Vodka, right?
R-O-C-K-N.
Yeah, I didn't know about it either.
Well, I don't drink too much of it. Otherwise, you'd really know about it.
Band communication and self-promotion is a bit of an issue with Cheap Trick, isn't it?
It is, yes.
We're having trouble there.
All right, quick break. We'll come back. And you know what? If you're cool with it, maybe we'll grab a couple calls from the audience to say hello to you. I'm sure they'd love to give a quick hello, and then we'll let you get on your way. We know you got a show here tonight, which I'm looking forward to. It's my first night they're letting me on stage. Go figure for Cheap Trick and Tesla night. That's the night that's the Eddie Trunk host night.
Is it an intro?
Yeah.
Ah,
so what do you think? What should I do? I got to prep in my room. I got to write notes.
The best fucking band in the world.
You got it. Done deal. That's what we're doing tonight. Rick Nielsen and Robin Zander are here.
Yep.
And we are getting ready for their show tonight, which is going to be a headlining spot tonight here at this event, which is called The Sands. And they will play with Tesla on the bill just before them. So it's going to be a great double dip of great rock and roll tonight. And what are you thinking, like, when you come into an event like this and moving the set around, do you tailor a set when you play to the situation, this being a resort, people on vacation, maybe, you know, not all people here just to see you? Do you keep that in mind? Or do you just do what you do? How do you tailor the set?
A little bit of both, I'd say. You know, you look out there and see what the audience is going to look like. But then again,
how do you feel like playing certain songs? I also like to shock the audience, too. We just did a thing a couple of weeks ago. It was for a cancer research in Chicago, and everybody's dressed up in suits, and you know, it's like, let's go out and annihilate them, you know.
Open with Gonna Raise Hell or something like that.
It was good. You know, it's like you have a guy that's even older than me, like, standing out in front of us. It's fun. Yeah.
Hey, before you go, and we're going to grab a couple calls for you guys, then I'll let you get out of here. If you want to talk to Rick or Robin, you got a question for Cheap Trick, 844-686-5863. 8446 volume. But I wanted to ask you, when you were sitting in and getting settled, you may have heard me talking about this. The whole world of touring now and what it means versus back in the 70s, even the 80s when you guys were doing it, it has flipped on its head, has it not? Where
you're speaking business-wise.
Business-wise, yeah. Right? It really, back then it was about selling the record. Now the record is really supports the tour. Is that how you feel as well?
Yeah, but we never, we're conscious of, we got to sell some records. We just always went out and played.
Yeah, it doesn't pertain to us anyway because we're so old. You know, we've been around a long time, so... Yeah, if you're a younger band, I agree with you.
Yeah,
but somebody who's been around a long time like us.
Yeah, but you know, think about Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix, he sells more records today than he did when he was alive.
But he can't tour, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, there you go. At least he's got record sales.
Right. Well, exactly right. Exactly right. But you guys, and I've talked about this before with you, In Another World is a fantastic record. It did well for you.
Uh-huh.
You still feel it's important to make new music. You talk about being an older band, but you know a lot of older bands don't even bother to create anymore.
But I don't feel like that record pulls people into the audience for us, is what my point is.
Right. That would be my point as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, you said this, like, it doesn't sound like we've been around for a long time because we play it with gusto. You know, we play with, you know, even I think I sound like I'm 16 and don't know what I'm doing, which is instead of whatever I am and don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
I play by the feel of it. And it's like, we had a song on our first record, Daddy Should Have Stayed in High School. I'm 30, but I feel like 16. Guess what? I feel like I'm 18 now.
Yeah.
And I'm not 30 anymore.
Yeah,
and I think that's the attitude the band has always had.
Well, I think that's the attitude in rock and roll in general. I've said this many times. I believe that rock and that doing what we do, what you guys do, performing, what I do, working in it, that being in this world does keep you young.
Yeah.
I really do, at least mentally.
It does.
I mean, in the case of Robin, physically as well. But
oh, please. Yeah.
But mentally, it does.
Because
I'm 57. I feel like I'm 25 mentally.
Yeah.
When my foot hits the bed when I get out of bed in the morning, I realize I'm 57. But, you know, it does. It does keep you it keeps you vital.
It
really does.
Yeah. You know, I took all the mirrors out of my house because I don't want to look at me. Nobody.
I did that, too, years ago.
But you had good walls.
You took all the mirrors and all the bags of candy out of your house.
That's right.
So that's it. All right, let's get a couple quick calls on for Rick and Robin, and then we'll let them go on with their day. Here's Jeff in South Carolina joining us now on Trunk Nation. Jeff, you're on live with Rick Nielsen and Robin Zander.
Hey, I just wanted to say I love you guys. I've had every record you put out, and I think you still sound as good as you did back in the 70s. But I had one question for Robin. Is the ability to sing like you do after all these years like just a gift from God, or do you do something special to maintain your voice? Because you sing better than any singer from back in the 70s era.
Well, we already established he made a pact with the devil.
I appreciate that comment, but I warm up every night, and you know, it takes me a good half an hour to get started.
And Robin's a real singer too. Robin was in choirs. All right, buddy, I was in choirs ages ago. He actually one singing lesson from my father, who was an opera singer.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But he's a real singer, Robin.
I learned everything from Rick's dad.
No, you didn't.
How old were you when you first sang professionally?
14.
14. And what was the setting? A band? Or?
It was in a park in Beloit, Wisconsin.
All right.
I don't remember the name of the park, but I remember there were about three people in the audience.
They loved it, though.
Yeah, but I was in a band called The Destinations.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
At
14.
And what was it? I imagine covers?
Yeah, all covers.
So do you remember what you sang?
Yeah, we did I'm a Man. I'm a man, but I love you so.
Stevie Winwood.
Yeah, Stevie Winwood song. We did, I think it was a half-hour set.
Three songs, holy cow.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you know.
Were you there, Rick?
Yeah.
Is that how you scouted them?
Yeah. I get in trouble with the laws hanging around 14-year-olds.
He was scouting me, and I was stalking him at the same time.
You know, just so you know, the audience knows, Rick, during Robin answering, is taking, as you know, Rick If you've ever seen Cheap Trick, Rick throws tons of guitar picks. He's pelting,
hey,
pelting them at me right now, which they'll stick with the humidity. Flicking the guitar picks to the guy. We're in a room that's open to the public, so there's a few people in here, and the guy's working the bar back there, and Rick is flicking the picks back there. When did you first start? You're the first guy I can remember flicking picks and doing that.
He was.
With branded picks. Were you not?
Yeah, well, I'm sure.
I don't remember anybody doing it like you or before you.
Well, there might have been somebody doing one pick a night, you know. But
Eric Clapton still got his first pick.
Yeah. But Rick's the first guy, he is.
Yeah, and the branding on him.
For the first 2 years of Cheap Trick, they thought my name was Fender.
Until you realize you should put your name on him?
Yeah, well, whatever. So I've had about 100 different versions of them. I never sold one pick, but I've given them away all over the world.
How many variations of them are there, would you think, about?
Well, I order 60,000 at a time.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I order at least a couple times a year. And, you know, I don't know, there's some Robin Zander picks, too. You know,
it's amazing. His aim is pretty good going down.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's how it started. Yeah,
exactly. Well, right.
I was one of the best men at David Wells' wedding.
The pitcher.
It was David Wells, and it was Kurt Gibson, myself, and Tom Arnold were the three.
Interesting mix.
And so on this, while they're doing their first dance, I went up on the stage playing with the band, and his wife has quite the... a good target. And I threw it from on stage halfway down the hall and went right to where the money... It was the money shot. And so David's been chasing me ever since.
Hey, you know what I was also wondering? So a fan asked me this to ask you this, and I was curious about this. With all your guitars, when you do a show like this, is this a one-off for you? Or are you just coming in and out? So when you come in and do a one-off on like this, how many guitars? Because we all know you have this massive collection.
Yeah.
Do you bring?
I think there are about five of them here.
About five.
Yeah, because it's too ridiculous to bring the gear down for one. We have another two shows coming up in Mexico, too. Mm-hmm. One in Mexico City and one in Monterrey, I think it is. And later this month or next month. And so we just bring down, maybe for two shows, we might bring extra stuff. But I know, Robin, how many guitars you have here?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think I have five.
I didn't even.
I usually have 25 at every show.
What's total in your collection now?
Over 500.
Over 500. And when you tour, so if you're going to go out and do like 2 months, like a run, what do you carry in general, about approximately?
Half of that.
Not about 2 months. He's got his own trailer.
No, we actually have two semis, so it was like, we have 25 in one and 25 in another. That way we can play, on the East Coast one day and
that's
the West
true.
Coast
we do.
The next.
We have
so we have a double set of equipment that goes out.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
I don't want to show up to a show with crappy stuff.
Wow. All right. So in general, on a tour, you'll carry about 25.
Uh-huh.
I remember I was with you guys the night when, and I have a photo of you and I looking at it, the night that the five neck broke.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Oh,
somebody
God.
Dropped it and it was the neck cracked?
Yeah, I think it was the fourth neck. It was the fifth neck.
And it was in Pennsylvania, I think.
Yeah.
It was at the Sands Casino or something, I remember.
Yeah.
And I don't remember. Somebody knocked it off the stand or...
Yeah, well, we fired them.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
No, I think everybody else on the road crew was thrilled that it was gone. Don't worry, I got it back.
Your shoulder probably thanks you for that.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, that's why you got the rotator. Let's get Stort in Ohio in real quick, and then we'll let you guys get out of here. Stort, go ahead with Rick and Robin.
I don't know if they're going to remember this, but it was in the late 80s. Cheap Trick was doing a performance for Japanese television behind the United Nations, and it was Cheap Trick, Lisa, and Cult Jam, Run DMC, and maybe another act. So they're lip-syncing The Flame, and in the middle of the guitar solo, Rick takes out his passport and shows it to the camera.
It to who?
The camera.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know, that was at the United Nations building.
That was such a stupid thing.
Is that right?
He's gone. Stort hung up. That's all. When he got in, he got out.
I got a question for you. Then he doesn't hang on to get the answer. Yeah.
By the way, that bill that he gave sounded exactly like the bill that would be here this week.
Right.
You know, exactly that mix of music.
I met somebody from Howard Jones last night.
Yeah, real quick, here's Keith in Maryland. Go ahead, Keith.
Hello, guys. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I've never got to see you live. So
what the hell?
I want to volunteer. I know. I want to volunteer.
How is that possible?
My buddy services as a roadie for the day when you visit D.C. on November 3rd.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, that's coming up.
Yeah, so, we're going to do a lot of the East Coast coming up here.
So, Keith, you're saying you are a roadie for the day?
No, I want to be their roadie for the day if they let me volunteer for them.
Well, since you've seen us so many times, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
You're our first choice.
Exactly. Keith, thank you, Keith, for the call.
Thanks for supporting us.
Yeah, a guy never went to see you live, and he wants to roadie for you. You'll definitely break some guitar necks if we let you do that. All right, guys, so let me let you run. What do you got coming up? Just the dates, right? CheapTrick.com. Everybody find the dates
out there.
Just
go on there. You can see all the dates, but most of it's on the east. So be looking for us.
We start in Reading, Pennsylvania, then D.C., and all over the
place. New Hampshire, near Boston someplace.
You have two private shows there.
Yeah. All right, cool. And Tom next year.
Tom will be back. February.
Come and see the two Nielsens, two Xanders.
Yeah, you can see the Nielsen-Xander short-lived version of Cheap Trick here. But, man, that's amazing, though. That's a really cool thing, actually,
I think you'll like it, Eddie.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing. That's both of your kids there doing the thing. And
a lot of younger girls come to see us now.
Exactly.
We can't find any older ones.
That's true.
Guys, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for making the time. I appreciate it. Rick Nielsen, Robin Xander of Cheap Trick playing here tonight. And we will let them get out of here. Well, so much fun to visit with the Cheap Trick guys. And earlier, of course, the Tesla guys and also Mark Goodman. Also had Corey and Vernon from Living Color drop by. I'll bring you that interview on a future podcast. However, it's all on the SiriusXM app. And as I was mentioning at the top of the podcast this week, SiriusXM is now free to all until December 6th. Listen on the app, or if you have an inactive radio, it should be turned on. Go to SiriusXM.com/EntertainmentLF, as in listen free. SiriusXM.com/EntertainmentLF for additional information. And you can get caught up on the app and, of course, listen to the show every day. Trunk Nation is on volume Monday through Friday, live 2 to 4 Eastern, nightly re-airs 10 to midnight Eastern. Anything you want, anytime you want, SiriusXM app. Thank you so much for listening. At Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, fan page on Facebook. EddieTrunk.com is the website. If you're in Green Bay, I'll see you Saturday at Epic Events Center. Everybody in the U.S., have a great Thanksgiving weekend. Catch you on the radio. You got no excuse to not listen. Now, if you're in the U.S. or Canada, free listening till December 6th. Can't wait for you to join me if you don't already on SiriusXM. And I'll catch you next Thursday for another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Take care.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.